Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. We have finally come to a Sunday in Ordinary Time. And now, while we have been in Ordinary Time since the end of Easter at Pentecost, or the end of the Easter season at Pentecost, we had a couple of solemnities all throughout the month of June, as you heard me talk about. Last week, unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties, so we couldn't get Peter and Paul in, but now we're back on track again. And we're back on track again now for this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We left Ordinary Time in the winter at the 8th Sunday of Ordinary Time before we entered into Lent. And now it's all of a sudden June. And now we move into the cycles of Ordinary Time. Remember, Ordinary Time is not ordinary, because nothing is ordinary with God. Everything is extraordinary. And in fact, God makes the ordinary extraordinary, which is the whole point, you know, again, of a relationship with God and understanding of who and what God is, you know, for us, to make everything that seems to be ordinary, commonplace, dull, regular, whatever it is, fascinating and glorious and wonderful and beautiful. And so Ordinary Time, if it isn't just about ordinary, commonplace things, what is it about? Well, it's about counting, because we are moving always forward to something. We are moving always towards, you know, something. And so ordinary, from the understanding of ordinal numbers, first, second, third, fourth, you know, those ones. So that's why we have the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And it's a counting up, because we're moving forward. And so we move forward every year. Yes, we repeat the same weeks every year. Again, we'll have the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time next year and all kinds of things like that. We've had one last year too. But the idea is that we're constantly moving forward. You know, we count up to the 33rd week, 34th week, basically is what we celebrate. Christ the King is the Sunday that precedes it, but we have 34 weeks of Ordinary Time in our year. Each of those bring us closer and closer to fulfillment that God promises us, a fulfillment, again, that wipes away all tears from our eyes, that lets us see our God as our God is, and we come like this God forever. And this is, again, what is promised for us, what we hold out, and where all of our direction, you know, is headed always as people of faith and believers. So we move into this summer and fall Ordinary Time, though conscious of the fact that we have experienced resurrection, conscious, again, of the fact that we are an Easter people, not a people of penitence into which is sandwiched a mirrored Easter season, you know, for 50 days. But no, we are an Easter people always. And so how do we live out being that Easter people is now how we move the rest of the remainder of Ordinary Time throughout this summer and this fall. And that's important to always for us to focus upon, because if we're not focusing upon that, then basically we just spin in circles and we don't really do much of anything. We don't progress anywhere. We don't do anything. Nothing ever happens to us. And so important to look at. So this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Isaiah. And again, Isaiah speaks of something wonderful, which again is consistent with Easter, to rejoice gladly, because again, God is there to care for Israel. And that God is especially caring for Israel by offering comfort. Again, as a mother fondles an infant in her laps, or as an infant nurses, you know, from a mother, so our God cares for us in that dynamic, intimate, loving way, not as a master over slaves or over servants, not as an authority over subjects, not as a boss over employees, but again, as something familial, as something that is fantastic and wonderful and glorious, to recognize the fact that the creator of all that is, the one who sustains everything, wants us, you know, to be in relationship, you know, with this God in such a dynamic and intimate way. That promise, again, is what's so important, because it connects, you know, then with what the gospel is trying to tell us today. Again, what we are supposed to do in being people who proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, in between that is basically a second reading, which does not relate to either the first or the gospel. And this is because, again, like I said previously, the second reading is a semi-continuous reading from a number of letters that Paul has written in the New Testament. We left off we left off with Corinthians, I think. And now we're into Galatians here. Okay, so we moved immediately from one letter to another because, again, you know, the year has moved on. But Galatians basically, and Paul in there basically tells us that our only boast, you know, should be about the resurrection, that the cross and resurrection, that again, what God does in Jesus in conquering sin, darkness, and death is something, again, that changes all of us. And it's not our own achievements. It's not our own victories. It's not our own successes that matter. But it's the fact, again, that God was victorious in Jesus, that God defeated these things that stand in the way of our humanity. And that should always be what our boast is about. That should always be, again, what our focus should be about. With that in mind, again, although it doesn't necessarily always fit into this, but I guess it can in one way. We look at the gospel today, in which Jesus sends out 72 others. Again, these are not the 12, 12 apostles. These are 72 others. Were they male, female? We don't know. What are their names? We don't have them. It's this anonymous group of a large group of 72 sent out in pairs, basically to be a prelude to what it is that Jesus is going to do in various cities and towns that he's going to visit. They are the advance team. They are the opening act. Again for Jesus. And they are given, responsibilities, again, to basically cure the sick and to proclaim a single sentence: the kingdom of God is at hand. It goes into a lot of other things if you don't listen to the kingdom of God and, Sodom and then demons and devils and scorpions and stuff. But don't, those get in the way of what this is really about. It's about basically God basically saying that it isn't just the duties and responsibilities of the 12. It is now the responsibility of this nameless group of people, this 72 sent out, which helps us again to remember our call as a baptized people, that we are called to proclaim the kingdom of God. It isn't just about priests and bishops and sisters and whatever it is. There are no holy people. There are people, moving towards holiness. And there are people of belief. There are people of faith. There are people together at work in creating something that God wants us to create. And that is basically the kingdom of God. And what is this kingdom? Well, again, it can be a variety of things, but here we have an insight. It's something that should bring us joy and something that should show care. Again, the comfort that God gives in Isaiah is now equaled with the curing of the sick, curing of the ill, that these 72 are asked to offer and give. This comfort, this selflessness, this moving out of ourselves into the lives of others to show that they are not alone, to show that we are in this together. Too many times within our churches, there is this imaginary barrier, and sometimes the barrier, though, is actually real, between what is known as the sanctuary and then the rest of the church. All of the church is sanctuary. All of the church is sacred. It isn't a special preserve for priests and things like that, and then everybody else. Everybody celebrates whenever we gather together for liturgy. One has to preside, yes, to move us from A to Z and get us out of there. Sometimes that person presides quite lovely. Sometimes that person is a tragedy. But again, that is just their job, to preside. All of us celebrate this together. All of us celebrate every Eucharist, every liturgy together, because it's in that celebrating that we gain the wisdom and the insight to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. If we fail to do that, then we fail to live up, to what it means to be baptized. We fail to live up to what it means to be a force within this world that fights against sin, darkness, and death, always and everywhere. Jesus has conquered it. It's up for us to remember that, to believe that, and to put it into action in our own lives. The more that we are able to do that, again, the more God's presence is revealed and experienced in this world, and we become instruments of letting people experience that presence. Let us not let them down. Let us not let down our call and our responsibility as believers in this world, but let that call be something that allows the kingdom of God not only to be revealed, but to reign. Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. May the Lord give you his peace.